Good morning. Thank you, Mark, for that wonderful selection of songs to prepare our hearts and minds for our lesson today. 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson titled God's Love. We talked about the immeasurable, the immense love that God had for us to give His Son to die so we could be forgiven of our sins. We know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23, and we know that the wages of those sins are death, Romans 6:23. Last week, we looked at the flip side of God's love, and we looked at the wrath of God. And God is going to punish those that don't know Him and that do not obey Him. And He wouldn't be God. You know, I've heard people say quite often, well, if God's a loving God, He is a loving God. But He's God. He cannot. He is incapable of condoning sin. And as a result of that, our sins are going to be punished. Today, I'd like for us to start looking at, we're actually going to have three lessons this week, next week, and the following. We're going to look at the simple plan of salvation, what we as people must do to avoid God's wrath. This is kind of a double-edged sword for those that may especially be watching the live streaming. If you have not been added to the church by our Lord, if you are not a baptized believer, we're going to see you're not saved. Your sins have not been forgiven. And for those of us that have obeyed the gospel, some of these scriptures might be able to give us some ammunition and be better armed in order to share with others. Somebody was good enough to teach us. I think of the numbers of individuals that were good enough to share the gospel with me. It's been perpetuating itself since the day of Pentecost. 2 Timothy 2:2, that the gospel was taught to good men so that they could teach others also. Let's look at some verses. I wish I could take credit for this. I'm just kind of reading the mail right now. I wasn't smart enough to come up with this, but I'm taking the words that God has given us. So look at salvation. The first thing that has to be done long before you put your Lord on in baptism is you've got to hear the Word of God. Now, the question is, do you have to hear the Word auditorily? Do you have to audibly hear the Word of God? What about somebody that's deaf? Do they get a free pass? Well, I'm deaf. I can't hear the Word of God. In this context, we're looking at the concept of being exposed to the Word of God. You might be able to read it. You could come to the steps of salvation by just reading the Word of God on your own. Most people don't do it that way. Most people study with others. They literally hear the Word of God. But the idea is you can hear the Word of God without necessarily hearing it. In Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2, we see a passage that says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God, the idea is we've got to ask ourselves the question, do we believe that God has revealed himself to us or not? Those of us that believe, yes, he has, how has he revealed it? In times past, he used various ways. He's used burning bushes. He's used his voice directly out of heaven to an individual. He's even spoke through donkeys. Has in these last days, which is including us, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. In times past, God has used various ways to present himself to his people. But in these last days, the Christian age, he's used the words of his Son. And verse 2 here gives that presenter, Jesus, the credibility. One, he's the Son of God, and God has been appointed heir of all things by God. Jesus has been appointed in power. So it behooves us, it benefits us, that if God is speaking to us now through his Son, we better listen. And he has given us the words of life that is in the song. John 12:48, we used this verse last week talking about God's wrath, that the words of Jesus are going to be what judges us. And so if that's going to be the standard, we better listen to them. As they say, as John Wayne used to say, listen up and listen tight. Okay? John 12:48, Jesus says, he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. The words that Jesus has given us, that's what's going to judge us. That's what's going to be the standard. Not opinion of man, not practice and customs of man, but the words of Jesus. Romans 10, Paul lays out in a very logical, Paul-like presentation about the hearing of God's word. Starting in verse 13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So many of our religious friends that at least I've run across want to stop right there, period. Just put that in parentheses and that's all I got to do. All I got to do, it says right there, don't you believe in the Bible? It says right there in the Bible, all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Let's read on. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, we're not talking about the person necessarily that stands up in front of a group like myself. You can be a preacher in a grocery store line. You can be a preacher to your neighbor. You can be a preacher to your kids, a presenter of God's word. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Now, I'm going to save you the pain and the agony. I'm not going to take my shoes and socks off. Stacy says my feet look like Fred Flintstone. I got that big old knobby big toe. I'm not saying that my feet are beautiful, but the people that present the gospel to others, what a blessing it is. That people present it to give people the opportunity to accept it and to be saved, to be forgiven of their sins, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. When we hear the gospel, we have a choice to accept it or to not accept it, to obey it or not to obey it. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The first in a long succession of requirements that God has called upon us to do. The first thing is we've got to hear the word of God, not the opinion of man, not something that men get together and say you got to do this. It's not an initiation. We don't sign up a membership card. We don't send in 3 box tops. We don't jump over, something. We don't join. We are added by the Lord. But the first thing before anything is you've got to hear the word of God. Because that's where the standard is. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul wrote, for this reason we also thank God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. The Christians in Thessalonica, they had a choice when they heard it to accept it or not, to obey it or not, just like us. Ephesians 1:13, Paul wrote, in him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth. They didn't do anything before they heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You have a choice. When we hear the word of God, we can accept it or reject it. The people in Ephesus that heard it and accepted it, they obeyed it. They believed it. When we hear the word of God, we have the choice to either accept, reject, to believe, or not to believe. Our scripture reading today that Mark read was taken from John 20, verses 30 and 31. I'd mentioned earlier that as a teacher, usually a thesis statement is given at the beginning of a writing. This was done at the end of the writing. This is at the end of the book of John. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Jesus did an awful lot of things. Some were recorded, some weren't. In John's account of the gospel, these were recorded with one purpose: to to prove that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and that by seeing these things that he did, you would believe in him, put your faith in him, and obey him. John 8:24, Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sin." That's a pretty bold statement. That you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You don't believe that I am he who? That I am Jesus? Everybody that had known him knows this is Jesus. He was the son of Mary and Joseph. His dad was a carpenter. They lived right down around the corner. Yeah, we know him. Not believe that I am Jesus. Believe that I am the Son of God. Believe that I am the Savior. After you've seen and have heard the Word of God and those miracles and those teachings, they had the choice to believe or not to believe. And he says, unless you believe that I am he, the he that has been prophesied about for generations, the he that they were expecting and hoping for that Savior to come, that if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. John 6, verses 28 and 29. Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Isn't that a legitimate question? Who wants to be able to do the works that God wants them to do? I mean, I want to. Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent." That you believe in the one that he sent, Jesus, that he's the Savior. John 8:30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. This is a double whammy here. I rejoice that when people heard the words of Jesus, it says many believed in him. What that also says, though, is very sad. Some didn't believe. Many did believe. That's great. How can you hear the words of Jesus? How can you see the miracles he did? How can you see the healings and not believe that he's the Son of God? But some did. But by hearing his words, we see the consequences. Many believed in him. Acts 18:8. This shows us that progression that Paul talked about in Romans 10. It says, "Then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized." We see that progression. They heard, they believed, and because they believed and they had heard the words of what needs to be done, they wound up being baptized. We're going to look next week at salvation, some of the things. Today we looked at, you've got to hear the Word of God. And you've got to believe in Jesus as the Son of God. That he is the one that was sent to take away our sins. Next week we're going to look at, we are required to repent of our sins, not just keep They're the words of Jesus, not just keep living that same old lifestyle, and that we must confess that belief. We must believe that He is the Son of God. We must, and that's just not a mental acceptance in our heart. We must confess it to men. That's next week. And then the week after that, we'll be talking about baptism and living and remaining faithful in Him the rest of our lives. If you need to respond to the invitation, I urge you, don't let another minute go past. If you need to repent of sins, if there is sin in your life, cast it away. Don't let another minute go by carrying that, trying to run that race that is set before us, dragging baggage with us. If you need prayers of the congregation, whatever your needs, please come forward while Mark leads us in the invitation. Let's all stand and sing.